Big shout out to our amazing sponsors, Outlaw Distillery. Looking for exceptional spirits to elevate your taste buds? Well, look no further than Outlaw Distillery. With their extraordinary spice rum and honey bourbon gracing the shelves of liquor stores, your drinking experience is about to reach new heights. And here's the best part. Outlaw Distillery is opening its doors to all you adventurous souls. Join the tour and step inside the lair where the magic happens. From the art of distillation to the secrets behind their mouth-watering recipes, this is a chance to witness craftsmanship at its finest. Here's a little something extra for our family. Outlaw Distillery is offering an incredible 40% discount on all tours. Just use the code FAMILY when booking your visit to the Spirited Haven. It's an experience you will not want to miss. Not only does Outlaw Distillery excel in crafting top-notch spirits, but they also believe in giving back to their community. So, if you're ready to taste the adventure and embrace the allure of finely crafted spirits, head to your nearest liquor store and grab a bottle of Outlaw Distillery. And remember, the best is yet to come when you step inside Outlaw Distillery with the exclusive Framily discount. Cheers to thrilling libations and unforgettable memories. See you at Outlaw. Shout out to our sponsors, King's Peak Coffee Roasters. At King's Peak, they take coffee seriously. Their beans are sourced with utmost care from sustainable farms worldwide, ensuring that each sip is a celebration of exquisite flavors. From captivating blends to captivating single origin roasts, their coffee selection promises to tantalize your taste buds and elevate your coffee game to new heights. King's Peak staff embodies the spirit of hospitality and passion for coffee. With smiles that brighten your day, they're always ready to guide you on an unforgettable coffee journey. From bean selection to brewing techniques, their knowledgeable baristas will happily share their expertise to help you find your perfect cup. King's Peak is committed to making a positive impact on the entire coffee supply chain. With every purchase, you're supporting farmers and artisans, enabling sustainable practices and empowering communities around the globe. Together, we're nurturing a brighter, more inclusive future for everyone involved. Whether you're a coffee aficionado or a curious newcomer, King's Peak is your welcoming sanctuary. Explore their wide array of coffees, accessories, and gifts, and let King's Peak help you find the perfect fit for your unique taste. They're not just a coffee shop, but a community that embraces the joy of coffee and human connection. Join us at King's Peak Coffee Roasters, where coffee dreams come true. You're listening to The Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, family, in the heart of Ogden, Utah, I guess, is it the heart? Is this considered the heart?
I think so.
Yeah. All right, I see that. And I'm here at Talisman Brewing Company with owner Dusty Williams. How you doing, brother?
Doing awesome, man.
Dude, doing great. This is the first time you and I are physically meeting each other.
I know. It's actually pretty wild.
Yeah, this is really cool.
We've talked a lot, but yeah.
Here we go. It's good to see you, homie.
Yeah.
And then you have your brewer next to you, Mr. Hayden. Hayden, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
Good. Welcome, brother.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
I remember when Dusty's like, hey, I'm bringing Hayden. I'm like, fuck yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Get everybody. Here.
Yeah. Yep. So I want to hear some stories. So Dusty, you've probably done this before where you kind of give the origin story of Talisman. But for our listeners out there, for the family, tell us, why did you start Talisman and when?
Yeah, no, great question. So first off, thanks for coming up, dude. This is cool. Like, we love that you highlight. We love what you do for the industry and for the community, craft beer community. So yeah,
we appreciate that.
Thanks for highlighting us. So yeah, Talisman, man, kind of wild. So I was home brewing for a few years prior to Talisman. Actually, my buddy got what was it called? Just that beer kit. I can't remember what it was called though. Back in the day.
The Mr. Beer kit?
Yes, the Mr. Beer kit.
Oh, yeah.
What it was.
OG.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And this was like in 2005 or something. But anyway, he had the beer kit and I was at his house and he's like, dude, yeah, come try this beer I made. I cracked it open. We were trying it. And I'm like, this tastes like dog shit. Like, it's terrible, dude. Like, but you know, you're kind of like, oh, hey, this is interesting. Like, how unique that you made it.
But
like,
you made beer instead of just going to the store.
Exactly.
It's cool.
Yeah. So, you know, you're not trying to bash it, but I'm like, dude, this sucks. And I'm like, we can make this better. Like, you know. And then we started talking about brewing together, but he lived in Vegas and I lived here. So I was like, that's not going to happen. So I got home And I just started throwing the idea out there, you know, talking to Joanne. I was like, hey, I think I'm going to get into homebrewing. She's like, okay, that's cool, whatever. It, a few years went by, just got busy with life. And anyway, long story short, one day I just came home. I don't remember what triggered it, but I was like, I'm just going to start brewing. I'm going to start homebrewing. And so went and got all the shit. And yeah, man, just started brewing like crazy. I kind of got obsessed. Like when I decide I'm going to get into something, it's just like all or nothing.
Control, you know? Alt, totally. Go totally. For it.
And so that's what I did. I mean, and I was, dude, I was brewing every weekend. Like, had the kitchen. Joanne's like, dude, all the kids coming in. My kids, I have four kids, and they were like, gosh, I don't know what, young at the time, 8, 9, 10. They're like, dude, come in. What does that smell? I'm like, it's hops. Come here, sit down. So this is Citra. Smell this. Smell that. You know, I'm just so into it.
What a great dad.
So into it.
I wish
right?
I had a dad like that. Yeah. Wish I had a dad.
Too soon?
Hayden's dying over here.
Yeah. Yeah, so Joanne's pissed because, you know, I'm hogging her kitchen all day, you know, and smelling up the house, which I think is amazing smell, but right. Some people don't dig it. But anyway, yeah, so I avidly started homebrewing and like avidly. So bottling all my shit, you know, and we had a cold storage right beneath the deck downstairs. And and I started, that was just became like the cooler, the beer cooler, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was food storage, and then it just slowly was taken up by beer. So my buddies would come over, and I'm like, yeah, dude, go down to the beer cellar and get what you want. And they go down there, and it's just like, I'm not kidding, like three shelves full. I mean, it looked like a state liquor store in there, you know?
Oh,
it was
awesome. Cool.
So, yeah, so did that for, shit, probably 6-7 years. And then went to a couple. I'm not really big into competitions and stuff. Okay. I just never really cared that side of it. I felt like, hey, if I'm making beer that I enjoy drinking, then what does it matter, right? Or if my buddies tell me it's good, then who cares? But so I got encouraged to kind of, hey, just do some, like, there was a, do some competitions and see what people think. But there was a, Real Salt Lake did a beer competition before one of their games.
Like a tailgate kind of competition?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and this was, I don't remember what year it was, but it was a while back. Anyway, so we took down some beers. We took an IPA. It was actually the Dagda recipe. And then we took down another beer that I barrel aged. And, dude, the reception was great. Like, I mean, it was my first kind of exposure. And you're just, it's kind of like a beer fest, right? But with your homebrew. And so it's sick. You're pouring up people's stuff, you know, and you're getting feedback. And, I mean, maybe everybody gets told this. You know, you always have your people that love you. But I just, a lot of people are like, dude, I would buy this if it was on the shelf. Like, are you kidding me? This is great. And I'm like, no shit. Like,
it's a good pat on the back.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So I, you know, got the wheels turning and had a, so yeah, it's funny because James Fowler actually from Sugar House, like I mentioned earlier, we played fantasy football for many years prior to him opening or me opening. So, we'd bring beers and shit to share at the draft. And anyway, he was like, dude, I brought him Iron Age recipe 1 year. This was like a year before I opened. And he's just like, dude, you seriously should just go for it, man. Just like, go all in, do the brewery, you know, here he did his thing. He did the same thing. So he's like, just go for it, but don't ever get investors. He started going all in on shit. You know? It was great. But anyway, so he definitely kind of helped influence that a little bit. I started thinking, man, I have people that'll buy it right now. Why not just give it a shot? So long story short, we, Joanne and myself, I convinced her to kind of move forward with this. And we said, well, the only way we can do it is put in for an SBA loan. So, you know, we said, okay, let's just do it. And if it gets approved, then however we move forward, we're going to figure this out. And if it doesn't, well, shit, we just keep working and do our thing. Well, it got approved. So we're like, shit, I guess we're opening a brewery. So yeah, you know, that was kind of wild to think of where we were when we started, knowing nothing about the commercial industry, right? Had a lot of good in-depth knowledge of home brewing and the science behind it. And I loved it. That's what I was passionate about. But as far as from a business perspective, never owned a business, you know, never. And neither had Joanne, but Joanne's like kind of the brains from the finance side and shit. She keeps us squared away. But so between her knowledge, my knowledge, and just start researching, you know, going and meeting with breweries and kind of figuring out how we need to do it, the kind of the pros and cons and the do's and don'ts and lessons learned. And yeah, man, just kind of took all that information and one thing led to the next. And so here we are. But
so yeah, here we are. And you guys have rotating beers all the time. You guys are in, yep. I've seen you in stores since before I was a brewer. I mean, you guys have been.
Yeah.
You have beers out there.
Yeah. So kind of from the beginning, we took this approach. Well, first and foremost, I only wanted to do High Points, right? So I was kind of like one of those rebels in the beginning.
Like yeah. Brian, like I'm only doing yep. bottles. Fuck you.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I was like, we even started advertising like that before we were open. I'm like, fuck, I'm not doing a 5% beers, like, or 4% at the time, actually.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's hard to make good beer that way. And anyway, quickly realized before we needed to open after just running some numbers and stuff and getting some feedback from distributors and stuff. And they're like, yeah, dude, like you really need to think about that. Like, cause you're going to be limiting yourself like significantly. And I thought, yeah, that's that makes sense. So
you got knocked off your high horse.
So bumped off quick. A humbling experience. I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right, actually. So then we decided to come up with two beers that were going to be our two low points, right? So Uplifted, which is the OG, and then Creation. So
that's the Crystal Vice or the
Head
Vice.
Yes, right? Yeah. So yes, you're right. So it started out as a Crystal Vice.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Good job, dude.
Thank you.
So I wanted to do something unique. That was kind of the thing, is I wanted to do a 4% beer that nobody else was really doing. That's why I picked Scottish Ale. It's an export, so Scottish style ale. A lot of people think, but this isn't a Scotch ale. I'm like, you're right, it's not a Scotch ale. But anyway, we can talk about that later.
Oh, yeah, I like
it's
this.
Education, right?
Right,
so,
right.
So we did that, and then the Crystal Vice. And Crystal Vice and just wanted to be a little different, because there's a lot of Hefs out there. So I thought, let's just do something totally different. Those are the two we started out with as our low points. So
that label, though, on the Creation.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
So dope.
Yeah, it's right? Cool.
Love it. That one, and then what's your milk stout's Utter
Chaos.
Utter Chaos. Yeah. I like that one, too, by the way. That one's a good milk stout.
Yeah, thank you.
It was. I enjoy that one when I see it in the stores.
Anyway. Nice.
But when did the doors open here at Talisman?
The end of, when was it? Let's see. So 2016, like St. Patty's Day week. I don't remember what that was.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like March.
Beginning of April.
I think something.
So
we got postponed a little bit.
Gotcha. But, yeah. So then we're going to have a 10-year anniversary here soon.
Yeah, well, that's a few years out.
But we got plan now.
We're planning it now, dude. That's going to be a big one.
Yeah, we got to blow that shit up.
I hear you.
I love it. So then let's fast forward, because I want to get Hayden in. So how did you find Hayden?
So I didn't have a choice.
I that's can't true. Wait.
Yeah. So Hayden's my son-in-law, actually.
Oh, shit. I didn't know this.
Yep. Yes.
Well, I was dragged into this.
That's why you say you see his mug all the time. It makes so much sense. So you married into the family.
Yep.
And
into the right or wrong family, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, and then you see, you make beer. Can I get into this? Is that what happened? Tell me your story. Now I got to know, Hayden.
Sort of. So it's kind of funny. Going way back, I was an anti-beer. I grew up Mormon in this state.
Okay, cool.
Didn't plan on ever drinking beer. Even when I started dating their daughter, I was kind of out, and I was super against it, but whatever. That changed pretty quick.
Okay.
Once I tried Killer Grove, that was my gateway beer.
Yes. That's the orange.
Yeah, the blood orange. Because I actually liked Blue Moon. That was my original gateway beer, and Killer Grove was my gateway
was the craft version.
Yep.
Yeah, I got you.
Exactly. So when did I start?
We pulled him to the dark side.
Yep.
I wouldn't call 100%. It the fun side. You really saw me hit the malt side. Just go. Yeah.
Oh, yes. But no, I started working. We lived up in Logan for a little while, and I had a job up there that didn't really pan out. So we moved back here. I didn't really have a game plan of what I was going to do. So I just kind of started helping out in the tavern, helping out with packaging, started digging it. Dusty started showing me the ropes of brewing and kind of getting me in the process, seeing if I was interested in doing it. And started just kind of working in the back full time. Head brewer before me ended up leaving, so I took over, and
the
rest is history.
Yep. No way.
Just fell into my lap.
You had a clean slate.
Yeah.
And then
blank canvas, baby.
Yeah.
Good for you. I like that.
So
respect.
It's been interesting. Like, only knowing Talisman from the beginning, it's kind of a learning curve.
But you've seen the growth of Talisman.
Yes, 100%. Because
you've had added tank since here. You've added a canning line since you've been up here. And your beer selection's, I think, more vast than it has been.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, you're probably watching a lot of this stuff.
Yep.
So you've been brewing for 3 years? How long have you been brewing for a year?
Shoot, probably two and a half.
Two
I mean, the
half
first
years?
6 months was kind of dabbling and just learning and helping out where needed, but...
Wow. Yeah. Look at you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
So are you really good at recipe development and stuff like that? Are you have a good
not, not so much right now. I've been dabbling in that with Dusty a little bit.
Cool.
I'm trying to get more knowledge on that. And
I love it.
But
are you a beer judge?
No, not yet.
Go be a beer judge.
That'd be awesome.
That's how you learn, is you start getting your palates to other people's palates and then just fine tune that shit.
At the Idaho...
Yeah, they had
Beer Festival,
Falls,
but we ended up just not doing it. But that was gonna be my first experience.
Strike one, boys.
I know.
Strike one. Messed up.
After this, after strike, I just end this episode now.
Done. Never coming back.
Legit.
So that's really cool. I'm gonna tell you a little secret.
Yeah.
I have been brewing for less than 3 years.
Okay.
So like, I'm there with you, man. Like, cool. I get it.
We're nice and fresh. Nice.
Yeah.
And
I mean, just keep growing, man. As long as the passion's there.
Yep.
Like we were talking about earlier, once this becomes work, then I'm probably gonna tap out.
But, exactly.
But I don't see it becoming work anytime soon, because I'm always learning from all our friends and family, and I just, man, I can't I can't stop, man. Yeah. It's like an awesome drug. It's just so cool to meet everyone and see how they're doing it. And everyone's doing things differently. And I just love it, man.
Yeah.
You guys do it differently.
I'm sorry. The more you learn, the more you want to continue learning. Like it's a snowball effect.
I like that. How I say it is, when knowledge increases, behavior changes.
Yes.
And it's just boom.
I like that.
Like, fuck yeah. And like the fact that when you start knowing you don't know everything, that's when you're like, okay, I don't know everything.
You got to accept that.
This is cool.
You know you got passion whenever like I come into the brewery and they're like about to dry hop something and they open up a bag of Citra. And I, you know, 15 years later of brewing, I go there and say, oh, baby. Yes. Like, it never gets old.
Like mashing in is my favorite because I know I'll go upstairs and people are like, oh, you're making beer today, aren't you? I'm like, how'd you know? Because I can smell it. Of course you can. But I'm right in front of it like, oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I interviewed the crafted beer girl, Jenny, Jenny Schaefer. And she was telling me that she wanted on Halloween, her goal is to like dress up as a witch.
Yeah.
And over a cauldron, actually do a mash during trick or treat camp. And I'm like, I want to do that.
Yes.
So trying to figure out a way how to do that on like, do a small system brew at, you know, whatever brewery. Just like trying to wear like some wizard hat or like some, I don't know, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings kind of stuff.
And just so rad.
That is so cool. I want my wife to get, you know, it's like, it's all bringing it. It's cool. It's so cool. But it's really cool, Dusty, that it's kind of a family brewery. I'm starting to realize.
Yeah, no, you have it a lot is of family actually.
Because Joanne's the brains and she's the boss. And then you're that guy.
Yep.
And then you got Hayden. You have more family here in the brewery?
So my daughter, actually. So his wife, she kind of runs our socials and does some helps with our marketing. So
cool.
I love this. But yeah, that's pretty much the main four at this point in time. But yeah.
Wow. And you said you had four kids, right?
I got four, yep.
Four kids.
Yeah.
What's the youngest? How old is the youngest?
17.
Oh, so.
17, 18, 21, and then 25.
So you don't have to be 21 to brew, FYI.
I know.
So you can bring him in.
Nope.
I love it because
I'm grinding.
People always.
I don't know if Hayden's ready to work with him yet.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe a little ways out.
I see how it goes. But I like how you guys are. Yeah, it's such an easy vibe here.
Yeah.
Every time I come here, it's just easy vibes.
Yeah.
And you guys are just making beer, man.
That's it.
Yeah. It's
doing the Lord's work.
Why do anything else? Yeah. Why make not good vibes? Like, that's what.
True.
Craft beer should be about. It's what a business should be about.
Absolutely.
There's no reason for that.
So do you see, what were you doing before brewing, if I can ask you?
Just inside sales at a couple different joints. Oh, okay, nothing crazy.
So now that you're here, is it like you kind of have a career now?
Oh, yeah. It's ruined me. I'm never going back to a 9-to-5. That's for damn sure.
It's hard, isn't it? Yeah. Have you ever gone to another brewery and seen like done a tour or seen their facility or their brew house? Have you brewed somewhere else?
Yeah, we definitely, I don't know if we've done like a full-on tour, but that's our favorite vacation thing is going to breweries and trying different beer. And
cool.
So I'm obsessed with that, but never like a legit tour or anything like that.
Interesting. You guys should do like go collab somewhere.
That'd be awesome.
I think you guys should like even go bring it. I mean, you got Ogden Beer down here. You got Utah. You just go Roosters, like go and just brew,
hang
like
out.
Make it. There should be a Ogden's only beer. I think this should be a collab with all Ogden beer people.
Yeah.
And it should be, you guys should do a version of it at each location, but you guys should all be there each time you guys make it.
Yeah, I dig that. That's
why
cool.
Is that not a thing?
Yeah,
you guys have it's only four breweries, right?
Four,
So like, it's a child's play.
Yep. Yeah.
That's easy.
That's 1 week.
Easy.
Sorry, 1 week you guys
we've
have
done,
fun.
We've done some collabs with Utah. I don't think we've done one with Roosters yet. But we gotta get on that better. So it's easy to kind of get caught in your rut and it's like, but we gotta get out more and
I'm waiting to the day till there's another brewer in Utah County because like let's go.
Yeah.
Like
dude, seriously. That'd be awesome.
Let's just compare notes and let's I feel like you guys should there's a farmer's market you guys are talking about. It's on 25th, it's closed, it's really cool every Saturday morning. But I think if you guys did like an Ogden's beer only festival.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. So I like rad.
It. I like that.
2 days.
Yep.
1 weekend. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
Man. Anyway, sorry. My mind's going cool.
I like it.
So, Dusty, questions for you.
Yeah.
So, you got this brewery. You open in Ogden, Utah. Do you ever see yourself expanding outside of Ogden, Utah?
Yeah. I think, great question. We kind of got a lot of conversation going on about that right now, actually. So as we come up on our 10-year mark, I've always kind of had in my mind that that's going to be our kind of a good expansion year, big expansion year for us. So it's all just brainstorming right now. Totally have looked into and are talking about the option of, combining a brew pub. You know, I think it's kind of inevitable. We've always been so against kind of the food industry per se and tying that to what we do because first two things, we don't want to lose focus on the beer. That's always going to be number one for Talisman. Like food. Okay, fine. but that's second, always going to be secondary. And I feel like a lot of brew pubs and stuff that we go to kind of, you don't really know what they're known for. You know what I mean? It's either their beer's really good and the food's not great or vice versa. And rarely do you get a great experience in both, from my experience, right? So that's one thing is we don't want to take away from that focus. But the other thing is kind of, do we want to do the food? Do we want to collab with somebody else? You know, do we want to get somebody else to Trogues in Pennsylvania, actually. I don't know if you've ever been there.
Oh, yeah, I haven't been there, but I know who they are.
Yeah. So we've been out there a couple of times, and really cool. Their story's kind of like us, started out really small and stuff, and then they've 25 years later, they've got this beautiful facility now, and they have food, but they literally have somebody that just kind of, they have a space for it, and somebody just kind of contracts and rents that space. And so they do the beer, and like you go up and you do your food separate. And then I just thought that's a cool idea, because then it's separated. You know, people aren't getting, your beer isn't kind of getting rated on the food experience, you know, or vice versa. So anyway, to answer your question, yeah, I think that's definitely something we're looking at doing. We'll probably always keep the hub here in Ogden, right? Because it's kind of where we're from and what we do. But definitely are looking at expanding possibly down in, you know, Salt Lake. We've talked about, you know, Farmington Station area. It'd be cool to like do a little brew pub down there or something. But yeah, a lot of chatter right now on that. So
I feel like, ooh, I'm glad we got that little dicey right there.
Yeah.
So what's when you started at Talisman coming, I mean, no, we keep bringing up the 10-year mark, but you know, you guys will be 10 years old. What's one of the main focuses that you wanted Talisman to be known for starting your pub? I guess not pub, but a brewery.
So when we first started out, or just even to now? So honestly, just good beer, like good vibes. You know, I wanted to create a place that can bring people together and talk about just the common things that people have an interest, you know, outside of all the controversial topics and conversations that happen nowadays. You know, it's like, it don't matter where you come from, what you've done. Like at the end of the day, you can sit a beer down in front of you and just, you know what I mean? Just
absolutely.
Have a great drink with somebody, enjoy the company, and enjoy just life. Like don't take it
just
too
be.
Serious.
That's so what I call it. Just be.
Totally. Just be. Yeah. And so that was kind of our number one thing is we would go to breweries, my wife and I, and we would, the vibe is such a huge thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter how good a beer, or how bad a beer they got, but it's, if you go there and the vibe's good and it's inviting, man, it's like, I'm just going to kick it here. Like, this is cool. And so we wanted to recreate that. You know, that was kind of the thing in Ogden we wanted to recreate. And then the other thing was we really wanted to create, we wanted to create a place where you didn't have to have food, you know, because Utah is so used to like having to have food. And I thought, man, how cool to be in Ogden area to create something where you don't have to buy food, you know? And to be honest, that kind of like not backfired, but I was so surprised when people started coming in. They're like, "Oh, you guys don't have food?" I was like, "No, but that, isn't that awesome?" and they're like, "Well, yeah, I mean, but don't you got to have food?" And so there's definitely been some education there, but it's starting to take off, and people love kind of coming here and getting some beers before they go get food or something.
No screaming kids running around. You got
exactly
peace and quiet adult talk. You know,
I like this. So then, are those same ethics and values holding up today?
Totally, 100%. I think they've just been expanded upon, you know. It's like we continue to have that and create that environment and that vibe, you know. We don't allow a lot of riffraff, you know. If there's people causing trouble, you know, it's just like, hey, man, this place ain't for you. But come here with love, peace, respect, and have a beer with us, you know, at any point in the day. And the other cool thing, too, is like you'll catch myself and Joanne, I mean, even Hayden, you know, I mean, and just sitting here having a beer on a Friday night or Saturday night, like come in, smoke and joke with us. You know, we're real people, the average Joes, you know, we created this environment for us to come and enjoy as well, you know, cause we love beer and love breweries and the vibe. So, I mean, hell, I was here last night and I was singing with the band. Shit, it was great, dude. So
I love that. See, that's, I want to see more of that. I want to see people who own breweries or who are a part of their breweries to be at their breweries during these kind of events. Yep. I want to see that.
Totally.
I know some people get lost in the mundane, you know, repetitive thing in life or whatever, but I just come support your, I mean, we're trying to make a vibe,
exactly.
Like create something, like come enjoy it as well. Like you come enjoy the fruits of your labors.
Exactly.
And you know, it really resonates too with the consumer, I think. Cause it's just like, oh, he's just an average Joe. It's like, and that's exactly what we are. There ain't no different than nobody else. Right.
Yeah.
So it's cool to come down and sit down and have beers with them and stuff. So
that's why I like to, on Fridays, you can always catch me at least having a pint after my shift. You know, it's I'm just gonna hang out and people are like, hey, what's new? Like, they're like, what's going on? Like, you know, they want to know. I'm like, I'll tell you. And then whatever I tell them, it's usually, you know, Julia tells them like, hey, we got this new beer. That's why I find it very important to stay, afterwards after work, just not every day. It doesn't have to be a thing, but at least once in a while, cause like, show your face, and then your staff sees that, your bartenders see that, and they're like, hey, like, Oh, he gives a fuck. Okay. Totally. What should we do?
Yep.
Totally. We're all a huge team. Let's keep going.
100%. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, boys, I want to take a quick break because I have brought something for you guys. A secret collaboration that you did that doesn't involve, it does involve beer, but it's not beer anymore.
Right.
So we'll come back and try that. Sound good?
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
I like it.
Shout out to our sponsor, Sugar House Distillery. Handcrafted from grain to glass, Sugar House has been grinding for years to bring us products that are quality over quantity. Just to name a few, their single malt whiskey, rye whiskey, which is our weekday jam, their Boilermaker series, which is a rotating collab within our family, and their canned cocktails, which are so damn good and great for any to-go adventures you have this year. Located in most liquor stores across Utah, or just head over to the distillery located on 22nd 12 South West Temple, Monday through Friday. Tell them we sent you, and they'd love to give you a tour and possible tasting. When you think Sugar House Distillery, think local and made with love. Until the next spirit, my friends. Shout out to our sponsors, Clearwater Distilling. Utah County's only distillery is turning heads and quickly making a name for themselves. From whiskey to vodka, their unique innovation transforms the norm with incredible products like their Rene Armagnac, which is an aged French Armagnac with an American rye whiskey twist. Literally one of our favorite showcasers. Or their Scandalous, which is not like Fireball. It's an actual whiskey with quality cinnamon without any sugary taste. Also, Clearwater teams up to do a monthly cigar pairing where you come and get educated on how to properly smoke a cigar while pairing with Clearwater's lovely spirits. For more information, head to clearwaterdistilling.com, hit them up on all social media platforms, or just message us and we'll get you started on the right path. Open 7 days a week, even on holidays, Clearwater is a must. See you there. Until the next spirits, my friends. All right, boys, we're back. Dusty, I brought something from one of my previous episodes. I went and stopped at Sugar House Distillery, and I was told that, like you mentioned, you're kind of friends with this Mr. James Fowler guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so how I hear the story, and I want to hear your version of it. How I was told the story is COVID happened. It kind of shut down the world. We all kind of got, what's the word, fucked?
Yep,
right? That's appropriate. So you had a triple IPA sitting just rotting away.
Yep.
Just boo, like, that sucks. Yep. It's a lot of hops. It's a lot of beer. And you reached out to your homie, be like, hey, can you do something with this?
Yep.
And I was told that doing a hopped beer, trying to distill it, is difficult because of the hop oils. Anyway, nonetheless, James does this experimental series at Sugar House because he said, fuck it, why not? Yep. I'm not doing anything. COVID happened. I have I have a lot of time now.
Yeah.
And so he makes this. I think a few months to years later, you happen to be coming down to Salt Lake and you reach out and be like, hey, whatever happened to the IPA? And lo and behold, ta-da, yep. He has this. Is that true?
That's actually pretty spot on.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So my side of the story is, nice. So yeah, we brewed Hazards, right? It's our triple IPA. Kind of a trickier beer to brew, especially with attenuation. So we had a couple of yeast strains in the beginning that we were using, and it was doing great. We switched up the yeast strain, and it just had a hard time chewing on it. And so we had a batch that didn't fully attenuate and tried to get it restarted and everything, and it was a no-go. So I was like, hey, cool, we could throw it in barrels, throw some bread in there or whatever, and let it chew on it, and it'll get it down. But then I remember James and I talked about doing an experimental or something together. So I hit him up, and I was like, hey, dude, I got a bunch of triple IPA. This might be the good chance just to have you, let's see what we can make. And he's like, send it down. Let's do it.
No way.
So yeah, we loaded up a big old,
tote
tote with it and send it down to Salt Lake.
How many barrels did you put in that tote?
I want to say it was like five.
Five barrels. To James?
Yeah. Yeah. Which is crazy too. Cause after they do their process, they get such a small amount from that. But anyway, so we sent it down there and he's like, he did his thing. And I think like after like 6 months, he tasted it and like, oh my God, this is dog shit. It's like terrible. And I talked to him after 6 months, he tried it and he's like, it's just not good. He's like, I'm just going to let it ride. I was like, yeah, let it ride, see what happens. So literally it was like, I think it was maybe like 14, 15 months it had been in the barrel. And Joanne and I were going down to see a jazz game. And we just hit up James like, hey man, we're just going to pop in, say hi. He's like, yeah, dude, come in. I want you to try this. He's like, I drilled the barrel the other day and tried that triple. And he's like, holy shit, you have to try this, dude. I was like, all right. So we go down there. And
were you excited or are you nervous?
Both. But it was good. So we showed up and of course, par for the course, I should say. Yeah, dude, I stumbled out of that place trying to get to the Jazz game, but he hooked us up. So he goes in there, you know, drills a hole in the barrel and pours it up. And I think it wasn't proofed down yet. So it was like, you know, 130 or something. Or,
oh, yeah.
But, dude, it was so unique. I was like, what is this? Like, I've literally never had anything like this. So good. It was so good. It was smooth. You get some of that, you know, the hop aroma. You get a little bit even the flavor of it.
Did you recognize it from the beer before? Because you had the beer before you sent it down, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally could. I could totally tell. Like, I get hazards in it. It's great. And anyway, he was blown away. I think this had to have been like 14, 15 months afterwards. But anyway, so yeah, he poured it up. And then next, you know, we start drilling in a couple other barrels. And not proofed down. And that's when I was like starting to go cross-eyed. And I'm like, oh, okay, dude, like we should stop. But no, yeah, so it worked out awesome. And I'm super glad that it turned out, you know, better than we initially thought it might.
Yeah, it was
fun. So.
And that's the thing about James is, and distillers in general is the patience they have.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I don't know how I could do it.
No, I can't. It's like, no. I struggle with my barrels I have now. Yep. I'm like, I think I have like three, four barrels.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there just like, come on. Just
until I'm like every week, you're like, yeah. And then when you actually go to like transfer them out, you only got a half a barrel.
It's
like,
what happened to all this, man?
Yep. But Dusty, I would like you to pour this out.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Definitely. My pleasure, man.
Hey, have you had this before?
I have. I took a little sip. I have a bottle at my house.
I was going to say, I gave you some bottles. Don't even hate.
He kept all the bottles to himself.
I love this. So, Hayden, I want to know, what's your palate like? So, you're new to beer, mm-hmm. in a way. So, what's it to spirits? Are you new to spirits as well? Did you like spirits? Do you like spirits?
I do. Yes, okay. I do. I go in waves. Right now, I'm in more of a spirit wave than like an actual beer wave.
Okay.
But I'm not like...
You're holding on to that that Mormon like
yes,
spirit.
Yes, exactly. Gotcha, you know, got to stick to the roots. yeah, I'm not like super, super in-depth on them, but I enjoy them and I can pick out some decent things, I feel like.
So what's some things you are drinking right now? What are your go-tos? You're a Scotch guy, bourbon guy, tequila guy, vodka guy, cinnamon whiskey guy?
You know, I've kind of adapted. Originally, I was vodka. My wife's gotten me into tequila.
Oh, I love I love your daughter.
I mean, you know, she raised her right.
Yeah,
she's
a
badass. super into old fashions. We drink those way too often, probably, but can never go wrong.
You like a good whiskey. You like a good bourbon too.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You know, he's getting to where you can start picking out some of the nuances in it now. It's very similar to craft, right?
Yeah. Have you fucked with gin at all?
Not too much. I want to though.
There's some good gin in Utah.
There's some decent ones.
Dude, in the last like year, we've really gotten into gin. And I will do like a little shout out here because New World Distillery, you know.
I haven't tried any of their products.
Their gin is bomb, man. Yeah. And so that actually kind of changed my opinion of gin. Maybe a year or two back, I had that and it was just on the rocks. I'm like, what the hell? Like you can have gin on the rocks? It was bomb. So now we're kind of, I'm on a gin kick, man. I ain't going to lie. Especially in the summer, you can make some bomb or refreshing gin drinks. So
I like a barrel aged gin. So favorite one, and I'll say it, Beehive does a really good one. But Hammerspring, JP, he makes the best barrel age gin right now. Oh my God.
Oh, I got to try that.
Yeah, I got to try it. I got a bottle and I went way too quick on that bottle. That stuff and then tequila does not last my house.
Oh yeah, no way.
I have plenty of gin. I have vodka for the when certain people show up, I have some of that, you know, weird stuff, but then I have the classy bourbon for like good occasions, but then tequila's gone. So don't give me tequila. Give me tequila, but don't give me tequila.
Yep, I hear you. Yep.
Anyway, boys, so we're going to try this real quick. I want your opinion because this was actually distilled May in 2020. So we're looking at a 3-year-old.
Wow, yeah. Dang, time flies.
Yeah, so cheers, boys. Yeah, man. Salud. Cheers. See, I get like, I mean, to me, it's the hops are there, man.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's so weird. I've never had hops in a spirit.
Yeah, it's crazy. You get like there's a ton of floral, you know, in it, like botanical kind of.
And then because hops are cousins to the cannabis, right? It totally tastes like cannabis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just dank as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm drinking weed.
It's bong water right here.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. But it's so smooth. It does got a nice little spice at the end.
Yep.
It's bright. And it's got a little bit of oiliness to it. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah, it does.
But, I mean.
Yeah, and a little spice. You're right. I do get that.
But I don't know. Where's that coming from?
Yeah,
the barrel,
I know.
Probably.
That's interesting.
I got to ask James because he was breaking it down with me. And
yeah.
He's that guy. Yep. I'm not that guy.
Yep. Do you guys get any fruitiness at all? Like,
not super. It's not right up front.
I wouldn't say. I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
No, I don't. Maybe you could. To me, it's like a light floral.
Yeah, that's what I. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, I could be sitting here being like, I get a lot of candy corn.
Yeah,
you know, it's a lot of pepperoni in here.
Seriously.
So I mean, your palate's your palate, brother. And this is super cool. Yeah. And trying this with you, Dusty, is kind of like, I'm kind of geeking out a little bit because this is your beer that went wrong in a way.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, I'm bringing it back that you didn't even know I was bringing it back and threw it back in your face and said, ta-da.
Dude, here you go. Yes.
And like, these are the moments I live for, really. Like,
yeah. So cool.
This is your baby, kind of. It's a collaboration you did with a dear friend of yours, dear friend of mine. And good shit happens all the time. And whether you think a project's gone south, there's always something you can do with it.
Always.
Always. Yes. So I tell all my brewer friends, never, 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 never dump a beer before you reach out.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I don't care if it's a distiller.
Yep.
I don't care if it's another brewer. Just like, someone reach out, please.
Yes.
And I remember dumping my first beer ever. Derek and I messed up on a beer or something happened. Actually, I know what happened. And watching the beer go down the drain.
Like, oh,
I think,
it hurts.
I think for the first time, I think it was like a year and a half into me being a brewer. And I legit almost cried. I'm sitting here going like, this is wrong. Like, I just felt so wrong. Like, I felt like I just punched a toddler on Black Friday. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Like, it was so wrong.
It hurts, man.
Yeah, so I guess I'm trying to, again, tell everyone, don't throw your stuff away, even if you think it's dog shit. Yeah. Just sit on it, walk away from it.
Reach out. There's creativity, man. There's so much you can do with it. I mean, like you said, this beer is, this now bourbon, I guess, is whatever you want to call it, has come full circle, you know? And how cool is that? Neat. Like, it didn't go down the drain. So.
Thank God.
Yeah,
thank
God. Right?
I'm glad you reached out, Dusty. Thanks for being our example, my friend. But Dusty, so going off of that, reaching out, when it comes to, limited stuff here, whatever you can do, have you ever reached out to other breweries in Utah?
Yeah, we do. We reach out to breweries.
Who's your go-to?
We got good relationships with Utah, honestly, here locally. Roosters as well. I mean, anytime, it's kind of, it's a tight community. Anytime we're low on lids or cans or,
cool.
You know, whatever, you like hit or grain, all happens all the time. Like, hey, you guys got a bag of flaked wheat? Yeah, man, here you go. I mean, it's just, it's cool. It's just helping each other out. So one thing I would like to improve on, though, for sure, is kind of more of that collaboration, is kind of, it's tough, I ain't gonna lie, like especially coordination and all that, but bringing the community together through craft and I think that's a big deal. And that's something I would like to kind of work on and get the other brewers to do it.
Because so. I think you guys, I'm not, envy's the bad word for what you guys have, but it's because Salt Lake has it. Salt Lake, I'm sorry, I'm gonna say right now, I'm done with seeing another brewery open in Salt Lake. Like, there's a lot. Yeah. And it's just, I'll support whoever opens up, but there's just so many, right?
Yeah.
However, I like seeing the small community we have up here in Ogden and like, the smaller communities, and we have one in Posse Kings over in Cedar City. We have one in Silver Reef, soon to be another Strap Tank in Silver Reef. We have Zion. Like, I like these small communities starting to, like, let's butt up new ones. Like, I want to be able to take over Utah, not Salt Lake. And so, what I like about this is, again, I really wish that there was another brewery in Utah County so then I could go to that location, support it, hobnob. And that's what I want to see more in Ogden. I don't know if it doesn't exist. Yeah. I'm assuming. I shouldn't assume, but I am. Yep. I think people from Ogden Beer better come to Talisman more. Mm-hmm. I think you guys should go to, Roosters more. I think I better see, you said a lot of your guests will see you here at your facility, which is great. I think that should happen. But I also think that your community should see, and your friends should see you there as well. Supporting their shit. And so it's really hard because in Salt Lake, we all kind of have like our same two or three we like to go to. You know, there's a lot, there's like a little pocket where you can hit like four at the same time, But I want to see other brewers at other breweries more often.
Definitely. Yep, for sure. And that's one thing I can say that we're kind of proud of is we do that a lot. We support the community, yeah. We'll go to we've hit all the breweries. Actually, I will confess, we haven't been over to the Ogden Beer Company just yet, but that's on our list. So
that's
we go to Roosters. I'm in. We go to Roosters quite a bit, love their food and enjoy their beer. So it's like and not only that, but we just like, I mean, Hell, my brother plays music, and he's actually going to be playing at Roosters, I think, next week. And, you know, we're going to go over and support him and support Roosters. That. It's like,
as you should.
It's all community. So, yeah, definitely would like to see that more.
But, like, if you saw, and I'm not to call him out, but I'm going to say, if you saw Carson Foss sitting here drinking beer and just having a good time hanging out at your spot, would that be pretty cool?
That'd be awesome.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and he's done that too.
I know
he
does. I mean, I've been here with him. Like, I'm not just trying to call out Carson, but, like, you know, like, it'd be really cool.
No, it's his
at my location to see. You know, I would like to see the boys from Bohemian come down and just, like, what, you guys are here on? Yes. Like, I remember Hopkins boys showed up one time. And they're like, oh, we're just here for a lunch. I'm like, well, it's like a 20-minute drive. Like, yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah.
So let's take an extended lunch. Whoops.
Yep.
But and then Utah actually came down for lunch. Carson flew down. We picked him up at the airport, came back, and we had a good time.
That's awesome.
And I want to see more of that kind of, like, camaraderie within other breweries.
Yeah.
Anyway. Camaraderie, that's a great word, yep.
Go for it, brother.
A little sneak peek brainstorming. I haven't even talked to Dusty about this, but I was picking up grain from Jackie at Ogden Beer Company the other day, and we kind of talked about this. We're going to get together and meet once a month or so, and have some beers together, just try to build that community. So definitely in the works. That's happening for sure.
I love that.
It needs to happen.
I love that. And I love that Jackie's spearheading this, because I think Jackie's a powerhouse in the industry. And number two, if anyone fucks with Jackie, you're fucking with me. That's all I'm going to say. But I love the fact that that girl's passion is not, like, gone.
Right.
It's still here. And, you know, I was with her last weekend, and we're talking about Ogden Beer and how, you know, at the beginning it's kind of, she took over in a weird situation, and it kind of has, like, a weird rap, if you will. But we all got to, like, hey, guys, we're moving on. It's different.
Exactly.
Let's move on. It's a way different vibe. Not that anything was bad from before, but it's different. The beer makers are there to make beer. Everyone's happy. Like, just go give it another shot. Like, it's really cool.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing at OBG. And I want to see Talisman OBG. I think that'd be really cool.
Sure.
OBC, excuse me. I keep calling OBG.
Beer company.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm just doing Ogden and putting the B in Ogden. No, but also, I was over at Salt and Hops last weekend as well.
Yeah.
Do you guys have product there as well?
Yeah, we do. We do a lot with them. So,
I mean, it's really easy because you guys are local, but to have a place where people can go buy fresh, local, always cold beer in Ogden, that's rad as hell.
It's huge,
It's awesome, and it's cool that they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah,
so
salute to them. Nice. Tell you what.
For sure.
So, boys, what's going to collaborations? You have done some collaborations before, but who's some collabs you want to do? Like, are you thinking about some? Like, you really want to go pick their brains or go brew in their brew house?
That's a good question.
Dusty, you've been in the game for a minute. Like,
what's that?
You've been in the game for a minute.
Oh,
right? Even like homebrewers. You've seen old homebrewers turn into, you know, brewery owners.
Right.
So who do you want to see?
Yeah, so for me, a collab too is more like, you know, I don't want to do a collab with somebody who I know brews good beer or you know, whatever. Sure. It's like, for me, it's more of kind of a personal thing. And, you know, and I want to, people that I have relationships with or people I want to build relationships with so for me, it's kind of, we'll throw it out there. It'd be cool to do one with Cody, you know, and those guys over there.
Bewildered.
You know, they do good stuff over there. And Cody and I got a history, and I think that'd be cool to do something there. Let's see, who else? We've done a few collabs. I mean, we do the Veterans beer, right?
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Yeah. So this is upcoming this year. The Veterans Hops coming out earlier this year, thank God.
Yes.
And because last year was a joke, I thought.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
But for all I know is there's four brewery owners or four veterans in the game. Three of them are owners. One's a head brewer. We got Policy Kings in Cedar City. We got Talisman here with Dusty, right?
Yep.
We have Chad Hopkins, owner of Hopkins Brewing. And then we have Derek DeBoard, who is the head brewer of both facilities at Strap Team.
Nice.
So we have four veterans in the game making it. So, Dusty, I want to talk to you about this blend and what it means to you to have a collaboration with vets.
Yeah. I actually haven't seen the blend this year yet.
Yeah.
Oh, and, so when you do the collab,
just
though.
In general. Though,
yeah.
No, I think it's awesome. I think it's, you know, it's kind of one thing, you know, people that are veterans, there's this common, they share this kind of, like, I don't even know the word for it, but just commonality, like brotherhood kind of, you know, with veterans. So it's cool to get together and see what everybody can do and see the creativity that we can do with, you know, utilizing those same hops. I think it's just cool. It's something that, you know, I look forward to doing every year or so, and continue to do at this point.
I know that because last year I'm not going to say what it was, but you were itching to do a certain style.
Yeah.
And I saw your creative juices flowing again. Like, you're like, let's fucking go. Yeah, right. And then obviously because of the timing, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
But I feel like for you, Veterans Day blend is like the Pink Boots blend or like a Christmas in a way where it's like, I get to play at the tops. I get to make a cool beer and do what my brothers are doing as well. Yep. Or my friends are doing, right?
100%, man.
Yep. And I think last year, when what Dre did with his green tea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, how cool was that,
God.
Man.
That was pretty wild. I texted him like, damn you to hell, dude. You only sent a six barrel? You asshole.
Yeah, right? Seriously. Yeah, we need to share some more kegs. We went through with a lot of those last year. Yeah, so probably.
So I think you guys need to up it next year, this upcoming year. I mean,
totally.
Yeah, because what's your system? What size of system is it here?
Seven.
Seven. So I think Dre just updated his. I think it's a three now or five.
Three or five. Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, he just upgraded. So like we got it. I mean, and Chad's got the small system, so he's also doing a seven. So I feel like and we have a 15 and a 10. So I feel like,
and we went through them quick last year.
Yeah, we
so
did.
So it's
and I love that.
It's great.
Because it's, I look forward to it because it's really cool. And I see the excitement because I get to see Derek firsthand every day, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I get to see his excitement because that's one of the, to him, it means, I mean, I won't speak for him, but the camaraderie and the, like I said, brotherhood and like he's got some of his best friends that have fallen, you know, and the remembrance. To him, I feel like that Veterans Day and the Veterans Day brew is like my Day of the Dead. That's that's my Christmas. That's my holiday, Day of the Dead. It's like, if I'm making an honor of my family, like, and you guys are making for, I mean, I just, not get jealous, but I'm like supporting whatever you guys do. Whatever it is, let's do it. How do we make it happen? So this year needs to be bigger and better. I think you guys, maybe it's a man issue, but you guys suck at like promoting this. We suck at promoting this.
Yeah, I know.
We gotta be better at it.
Yep.
Because the Pink Boots, when the Pink Boots go, dude, I'm like, I'm jealous. I want to be at all the Pink Boots brews. And like all their beers are so fun and cool.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I wish that, there's no reason why you couldn't do a Veterans Day brew, even if you do not have a veteran on staff. But I feel like I want to see more Veterans Day blend brews.
Completely. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And it's a great point, actually. You don't got to be, I mean, technically a veteran to want to get involved in that. Right. So. We'll just throw it out there right now. Any brewer wants to get involved with that. It's, you don't got to be a veteran, right? I mean, this is kind of for the veterans. It's cool. It's kind of you know, something we can all promote together and kind of our ode to the veterans out there. So, you know, and I think it's cool. So actually, we kind of on that topic, we've got a lot of things in the works with doing some beers for a lot of the units up a hill.
Cool.
So yeah. So kind of. A lot of talks there. We got some really cool stuff we're coming up with and ideas we're coming up with up there, but and really kind of getting them involved, you know, having them come out here and help brew the beer. So for the Veterans Blend this year, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm actually going to it's not hard, right? Hey, come and brew beer. Sign me up.
Going to be hard. No.
So we're definitely going to get some veterans down here and having them help out with that this year. That's kind of going to be the unique thing that we're trying to do. So
I love
in addition to myself, people that aren't in the industry, right? Just get them down and kind of bridge that gap, show people kind of what brewing's about, you know, educate them on the process.
We talked about it since we walked in these doors this morning. It's all about education.
All about it.
Yeah.
So, and they more, it's crazy, man. When you bring people in the brewery and you show them around, and you kind of, we do tours right often and we nerd out, no doubt. Cause to me, that's, I mean, some people might think it's boring, but you get the few people that are like, holy shit. Like, I had no idea what goes all into this and like how intimate of a process it is and how much your guys' hands are on this. Like, I mean, we still literally like label on our bottles, like the batch numbers, like hand by hand, you know? And so it's cool.
I respect that.
But again, just comes down to educating the community and we just want them to understand that this is intimate and it is something where like, it's very craft, right?
Mm-hmm. So. And that's why I like you guys have this space. A lot of breweries, most breweries, I feel like have a space where you can see you guys actually in action. Yep. And what job can you go and see? I never saw my mom in action working.
Nope.
You know, exactly. But you can come watch me if you want. Yep. I mean, I have windows that you can come knock on it and like throw food at me if you want kind of thing, right? I think it's really one of my cool stories. It's a selfish story. One of my dear friends I've known for probably 30 years, best friend. He's a science teacher. He's always been smarter than me. He's always been better at everything. You name it, he's always been better at me. And I had him come brew with me one day. And to see his jaw on the floor the entire time, he's like, you do this? He's like, what? Like, you're a scientist, you're a mechanic, you're a plumber. Like you're doing,
you dabble in engineering, legit.
And so it's so funny to watch people. And I'm always down to have people come brew. Like come, why not?
Absolutely.
I'm so spoiled. So coming home from a flight, my wife and I were coming home from Tennessee, and this guy's like, "So what do you do for a living?" And I thought I profiled him as a typical Utahn, and I go, "Oh, I'm a liquid chef." And the guy looks at me, and he's like, what the hell does that mean? And I go, oh, you used the word hell. So I make beer. It's called a brewer.
I love it.
He goes, oh, okay, yeah. I like keep with Liquid Chef.
Yes. That's
great. But hey, now that you're Liquid Chef, what's some things that you want to do that you haven't done here at Talisman?
Kind of like we talked about earlier, just get a little more into research and development, making some recipes, really honing in on that. And just making different beer styles, not the traditional IPAs and sours and stuff. Really getting into like the traditional German beers. Kind of going that route,
some
I guess.
Like Pilsners and like old school lagers and all beers.
Yeah, some Helles and some Doppelbock and all the crazy ones that I haven't even tried myself, really. But
you've never tried Doppelbock?
I don't think I have.
Well, son,
sad. I'm basic, dude.
We'll educate you. We'll educate you. No,
oh, yeah, I need it.
But yes, we got to do go try them. Go to, if you see someone doing a Doppelbock, like I know Devastator, that's one of my favorite doppels. Yep. I mean, that's a Doppelbock that Wasatch does.
Yeah, Wasatch,
just go.
It's a staple.
It's a great.
You've had Devastator. You've had to have.
You
may have it too lit. I fed you one at some point.
Yeah, that's true.
It's got to be.
I didn't know I had it, but I had it.
Gotcha. This is one of those. Like, yeah, I'll take it. Anyway, but I like, you're like, I wish I am you in a way. It was like, you got to like, just go do it, man.
Yeah.
Just go do it and ask all the questions and start connecting with people, man.
Totally. Tell
you, that's what you got to do is pick the brains. Mm-hmm. I've never met someone, I'm like, hey, if you ever need something, reach out. No, fuck you.
Yeah, no.
What?
Oh, yeah. Stupid.
It makes no sense. Not in this industry.
No. Nope.
If you are, you're going to be out soon.
Exactly. You're not,
cannot do it.
Totally.
So, in the Ogden, you're kind of new to the game, Hayden. I know I'm playing this card, but in Ogden, what do you want more in the craft brewing scene in Ogden? Do you want to see more of it? Do you want it to grow? What's your vision for Ogden?
I guess kind of along the same lines, just not the same basic beers over and over again. Like, I feel like, you know, sours are really in. Hazies are really in, and that's cool, but there's so many of them out there. I want to see some traditional German beers that that no one makes and get the public a little more educated on those and get them hyped about it instead of another sour.
So what can we do to hype up the public, though? Is that the $1 million question?
Yeah, that is. I don't know how you...
Yeah, and honestly, education, too. And it, you know, just doing things to bring people to the brewery that otherwise probably wouldn't show up, you know, that traditionally think or have this perception of craft beer that is a negative per se.
Right.
And so I think it's bridging the gap. And we work on that all the time. You know, it's something we're trying to do. Like Hayden said, traditional beers, that's what we love doing, but we also love branching out and doing experimental shit. You
but
know,
that's
it's
craft, right?
That's what it is about. Oh, so doing kind of some crazy stuff, but still being traditional, you know, and still having that traditional lineup. So
how about having educational programs here at Talisman? Like, let's say we do like a tasting here or a pairing or a cigar pairing or a whiskey pairing with, or you know, you don't have food here, but like bring a food truck and a pairing kind of thing.
Yeah. And we do a ton of that. So what's cool is kind of, we do, what's really great. We do beer yoga, which is what's cool. Cause people,
do you really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's awesome, dude.
Oh, we're kind of, we've been doing that for years and years. We did not make that up, right? It was somewhere else, but we kind of have been on the forefront with Utah with beer yoga. And I only bring that up because you get a lot of yogis that come in and they're like, oh, I've never had craft beer. Don't have it. Well, but with the yoga, they get tastings. And so cool. You know, we talk it over to them and they get to try the beers. We've done, we do tours often, at least like once a month or so, educational tours. We do, we've done a beer and pear.
Yep, I mean,
beer and cheese and then chocolate.
Damn.
We did a chocolate pairing and beer, chocolate and beer pairing with Utah State recently.
Oh, sick.
Which was so cool because, and both of them were sold out. It was awesome.
Good.
And so again, that's the opportunity to educate.
People are hungry though. People want
that. Totally.
They're selling out. Yes. That means we need more of that shit.
Absolutely. So it's something we've kind of been trying to do a lot of. And it's kind of cool because we've seen some of the other local breweries start doing some things too. Somebody recently started doing beer yoga, and I was like, hey, let's go, man.
Yeah, I know Squatters Downtown does beer yoga.
Oh, really?
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome, dude.
So, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's about educating the community, man, and making craft beer approachable. Like, it doesn't have to be, it's, you know, if you beer, we brew traditional beers, you know, and we've always prided ourselves on having a beer for everyone. Like we talked about earlier, right?
Yeah.
If you come in, I'm going to get you a beer that you're going to dig. Like, and you get a lot of people that come in that don't like beer. And so we know exactly what we should start them out with, right? And ease them into it. So Killer Grove's a great one. You know, a lot of the chicks like very salty, right? They like the fruitier stuff.
Ghost
and so and when they come in, you know, it's like kind of the one thing you recommend is, hey, do you like fruit? And you're like, yeah, cool. Okay, well, here's a fruity beer. And it's crazy, man. Like, I mean, on a weekly basis, there's people that are like, oh my God, like, this is great. I've didn't think I'd like craft beer, but that one I can drink.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, well, you tried that. Here, try this one then. Oh my God, I could do that one too. Yeah. So that's just,
when knowledge increases, behavior changes.
Yep, exactly. And it's all of our jobs, right? As all these craft breweries, it's in kind of being small craft, it's all of our jobs to educate people because we all benefit from that.
We are lacking that in Utah. I think we're getting the hype and the sexiness of we make beer. Like we're on that like hype train. Like we make beer. Look, it's really cool. Look how awesome it is. But we're forgetting that we need to be on the front lines to be like, hey, this is why I make it. Here's the story. Here's what goes in it. Like, here's my, like, I'm the artist. Like, here's, try this. Let me teach you why I made this. Cause we're usually, and there's some staff member, like there's some places in Utah where their front line is their beer tenders or bartenders.
Yeah. Mm.
But they have to have that same passion that you do or else it's not, that bridging the gap is not going to be there.
Yep.
And that's totally. It's so hard to see. I'll go to a brewery sometimes and I'll ask, what beer, kind of beer is this? I don't know. It's a Kolsch or whatever.
Yep.
It's like, nah, man. Like,
yeah. That doesn't work, man.
Nah,
and honestly, it does. Everything that happens behind the scene, like where we all know, right? The brewing, everything else, it completely diminishes what we've created, you know? And so it is a big deal. I love going to breweries whenever they're, you know, their staff's educated on it. At least, God, I remember going to a place, it's not here anymore in Ogden. And, since it's not there, who cares, right? The Barrel House, right? So I went to the Barrel House and dude, I remember this was actually near the end of kind of before they closed down, but me and my wife frequented there, right? It was before we opened the brewery and we went in there and we're like, yeah, we got, I don't remember how the conversation took place, but we asked, what kind of beer is this? Or what style of beer is it? And she's like, it's a dark beer. And I was like, bro, this is literally a craft, what they call it? A craft beer, you know, bar, basically.
Sure.
Come on. Like dark beer. Like that's sad. So luckily for us, you know, no big deal, but somebody else who's trying craft for the first time or something to just be told dark beer, like, come on, man. Like that's doing the entire industry a disservice. So,
right.
Not just that company, right?
But one of my favorites is going into a bar and asking the questions and they have no idea who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, do you know who makes this? Oh yeah, it's from, you know, such and such brewery, and I know like they made it because like this certain malt's just special and like, I don't know, I like it and I think you'll like it if you like this style. I'm like, yeah, I'll take two.
Yeah, exactly. I mean?
But that's, I want to come back to that.
Totally.
And that's, Utah's got, everyone, we got to step it up. Yes. Like, we got to step it up. We need to educate in front of the lines and then we got to be more present in our breweries. Yes.
Totally.
And other people's breweries.
Totally.
Dusty, a few last questions. What's something in Talisman's game right now that you want to have happen that's not happening right now?
Wow, that's great. A lot of things, but right. Like capital and not having, you know, investors and stuff limits us from doing that. But so I really want to kind of branch out. Like I want, and what I mean by that is, space kind of, you know, so what I envision for Talisman in the future is, I don't know if you, have you ever been up to Payette in Idaho? Okay. Mm-hmm. So they moved locations at like 7 year mark and their new location was the shit, man. I mean, it was, so really what I want to create is just an environment where people can come and hang out like for extended periods of time. And so I would love to have like a green space, you know what I mean? Like with hammocks and cornhole, and I want it to be, you know, and I'd love to be family friendly too. At Utah, that's a little trickier, right? With licenses, but just a place that brings people together and a few more items, right? Items, well, I don't know what you want to call it. Things just to kind of keep people busy and having fun.
Gotcha.
So you can come in here and chit chat for a while, but you know, after 2-3 hours, it kind of gets boring, but love to have a place where we could facilitate that. And we will eventually, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Really, honestly, canning was huge, but we kind of checked that box last year. So well,
congrats
that's,
on that, by the way.
Yeah. Thanks. Mm-hmm. It's been huge for us. You know, again, it's kind of hard to continue to grow whenever you don't have, you know, the fuck money, like we talked about. And not knocking that. It's just that it's for the small guys, you know, and we try to kudos to the people that are doing it that way. Cause it's tough. You know, Joanne and I threw everything we had in this place and, you know, if it failed, we were going to be screwed. So thank God it hasn't. But yeah, no, it's kind of a big deal to try to grow from the grassroots movement. And that's what we're doing. And really we've always taken the approach of, let's let the people grow us. Like at the end of the day, like if we're growing our own selves, right, with our own money, like that's kind of like false success, right?
Yeah.
So it's like let the consumer determine if that we're going to be successful or not. And I think that's been key and it's worked. So yeah, just growth. You know, I think marrying up the brew pub is something I would love to do. Marrying up, you know, I think food's inevitable. Beer and food, like, come on, it goes hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so yeah, a lot of, like I said, a lot of chatter, man, with what we want to do. But as far as like what we're not, I'm happy with where we're at. You know,
good.
We've let the consumer grow us, and we're very appreciative, humbled, and thankful for that. So
that's beautiful. Yeah. Hayden, what do you want? How can the Utah beer community help you grow as a brewer?
That's a really good question. I guess just more, there may be some out there already, but just some educational programs or whatever the brewers can go attend. Yeah, that's legit.
Yeah.
Start there. But just, I guess they have like the brewers conferences countrywide, but if Utah did something like that to help the Utah brewers grow or something, that'd be pretty rad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess other than that, you said judge and just keep picking people's brains, meet people and make relationships and
good.
Learn from that.
Yeah, that's the key, man, is there's a lot of knowledge out there, you know. Yeah. Like Dave said, there's never been a brewer or a brewery that we've ever approached and they're like, nah, dude, get lost. Like, everybody's always so inviting, and so are we, right?
Yeah.
In turn. But I think it's easy, you know, we all get caught up in our own bubbles in our own lives and stuff, and that happens, right? But yeah, it's and kudos to you, man, for David, for kind of bringing that up, because I think it's something that we all need to do better on, right? Mm-hmm. As a community in general, we all benefit from it, and there's a lot of knowledge share that can happen. You know, coming to the brewery, it's like, sure, we all have our own maybe our own little proprietary methods that we want to kind of keep to ourselves. Cool, whatever. But generally, it's so fascinating just to see how other breweries operate.
Yeah.
Not only that, but you go in and you're like, oh shit, look at that. That's cool. Like,
and ask the questions.
I wonder what that is. Like,
why do you do it this way?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it can save us time, cost, money by collaborating this stuff, and let alone maybe creating a better product. Like,
I'm pretty sure I'm going to go on a whim, but I think 90% or more, I'm going to weigh in the more, haven't gone to a beer school. And then past that, the ones that are making beer or product, no one outside was taught in general education how to make said beer.
Yeah.
So we may have this idea of how to make beer,
right. But
maybe someone's doing it in a better way or a different way or a quicker way or easier way or a more fulfilling way. Like, you know,
yeah.
And so this is why I do what I do is I go around trying to talk to anyone, and my favorite thing, and this is the most selfish thing I do, I think, is I love it when people come to me and be like, hey, do you have so-and-so's number so I can talk to so-and-so? Fuck yeah, I do. Right here. Boom. I don't gawk about it. I don't gloat about it. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Here you go.
That's awesome.
What do you need? Like, my favorite, I would love, like, I just need malt. Do you have so-and-so's number so I can grab malt? Yes.
Yep.
Or I want to pick their brains. I mean, I know Brett, Utah picks my brain all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, man, I'll help you out. Why would I try to hoard all this information for myself? That's stupid.
Yep. Yeah.
That's going to get our community nowhere.
Yep.
So that's why I like putting a microphone in front of people's face. There's two things. You're always going to get smiles with me. You're going to get a huge hug, and you're going to get a mouthful of hair when you hug me. That's it. And you know, it's all love and vibes. I don't give a fuck.
Totally.
And if you don't like me, I'm sorry. I still like you.
Yeah.
I still love you. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And let's all raise each other up, because I just, like, at the Idaho thing, when anytime Utah won, whoever it was, I was losing my shit because we deserve to be, I want Utah to just sweep house.
Absolutely.
One time. Like, we are a powerhouse and we kick ass.
Yep.
So Dusty, what can we do as a community and a family to help you help Talisman out?
You know, like I said before, I think it's just kind of building better camaraderie, you know, amongst the breweries. I think that's just something we need to work on. And I think it's not only just helping me out or us out, but it's, you know, vice versa. It's us giving back, you know, where we can as well. So, like I said, there's a lot of knowledge, you know, a lot of experience, a lot of ingenuity that comes in this industry, and a lot of science, you know, people that have credentials and degrees and know what the hell they're talking about. So yeah, I think it's just kind of, maybe for some people, myself included, like, kind of getting out of your comfort zone, just like, you know, hitting people up. And so, COVID kind of, you know, threw a wrench in all that, but we're out of that now. So it's time to
pass. Never happened.
Time to get back in it.
Exactly.
So yeah. And like I said, just, you know, brewery hopping, showing support, you know, and it's kind of like when you come to somebody's brewery, if you have their number, hit them up and be like, hey man, we're here. Not that
Absolutely.
You want any special treatment. That kind of, I think, is a misconception too. A lot of the times it's like, I'm not hitting you up because, hey, I want you to think or know that I'm in your brewery first and more, but we're here to support you, man. And if you got any time to chat with us or show us around or like pick your brain or just talk beer, like, who cares?
What are you geeking about right now? Let's go.
Yeah, totally. But in the end of the day, it's like, if you don't got time for that, that's cool too. But I think, like you say, just showing support for one another, yeah. you know, and at the end of the day, just put a butt in a seat and drink somebody else's beer.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to restaurants or you go to places that are carrying a lot of the local craft beers, you know, try other people's beer, you know, try yeah. it out. That, not only that, but that's how you gain knowledge on how to increase, you know, how to better yourself as mm-hmm. a brewer and all while supporting the community in Utah. So
well yeah, said, brother. Well sure. said. I can't say anything else better, but my friends, if I can do anything for you, as a podcast guy, curly head guy, or yeah. a brewer in the industry, let me know. I'm here to help you guys and see
you, man. Yeah. yeah, no, and we appreciate it. Like I said, what you do because it's kind of a big deal. You're helping bridge the gap. Yes. I really feel like, and that's kind of important. So
yeah,
and like I said, it can be intimidating sometimes, or I don't know if intimidating is the word, but you know, like we all just caught up in our own lives, and it's like, dang man, like we're all doing the same thing. We're all trying to make good beer, and not only that, we're trying to put Utah on the map for a craft beer place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's a constant challenge because yeah. people hear Utah then, and they're like, wait, craft beer? Utah? Wait, is that even a thing?
I love that. But yeah, it is.
It totally is. I always
flex on them. Yeah, we're award winning bitches.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Totally. Oh. There's a lot of, and that actually kind of reminds me of the, you know, the 4% days or the 5%. Actually, my brother asked me yesterday. It was great. So he's from California. He's out here visiting. But anyway, we were driving out to the lake and he's like, hey, man, so, like 5% beer. Why 5% beer? And I was like, okay, well, first off, we don't have a choice, right? It's law. And he's like, but a lot, I've heard a lot of people like kind of mention just around, just in the industry mentioning that, you know, a traditional IPA, traditional IPA, first off, what even is that? But anyway, yeah, are supposed to be a higher ABV. And I was like, I mean, that could be argued, but okay, fine, fair point. But that's why we don't call it regular IPA. We call them these things session IPAs, right? And that's why I love that the coin session finally got adopted, especially like yeah. actually yeah. in beer categories now. Because it's like, it truly is an art. Like, let's not diminish that. Like, especially when people were brewing 4% beer back in the day. Dude, bro, you know how hard it is to brew a 4% beer and actually make it taste like
make
a beer.
Make it taste well.
It's extremely tough. And Utah kind of perfected that, you know, yeah. and out of literally the entire U.S., like, who makes session beers the baddest? Dude, Utah, no doubt. Like, no question. And so when I got pumped to 5, it was just that much easier, right?
To kind of hone it in. It's like, so, oh, we got this. Yep. Now let's just hone it in there.
Yeah.
It's
so and easier. So when session got adopted, I was like, yes, finally, man, because this it needs to be recognized. So yeah. I educated my brother. I'm like, no, these are session beers, right? And they call yeah. them session beers because you can have more than one, you know, and you can have a few, right? It's like, it's a session. So, and which mm-hmm. is good because you go somewhere else and you get, you know, you go to California, get a dip on tap, dude. Two of those in, you're like, shit.
Yeah, well, I guess
I'm toasted.
Sorry, we're done.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one thing I think Utah can hang its hat on. And you get people out of state that come in, and for sure they knock it. And then I think they just see the ABV. A lot of people drink by ABV, right?
And so frown on that.
It's frustrating. Totally. And that's where that's the opportunity again to educate people. Like, hey, man, like, yeah, you're right. Like, this is lower percent alcohol. But if you're just looking to get smashed, dude, just go get some vodka.
Yeah, go get liquor.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's just stores. Like, but enjoy this. It's not only that, you can have a few and then stroll drive home. So,
yeah.
But
I love it, boys. You guys are doing totally. The Lord's work up here. I love it. You guys are looking at you're doing the Lord's work, Hayden. I don't know if you do.
Vice versa, right back at you. Yep.
But, gentlemen, thank you so much for spending your morning with me.
No, thank you, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah,
seriously.
Of course. I love coming here. It's always been a fun time. Last time I came here was the Beard Bus back in the day.
Damn.
Oh, my gosh.
It's been a minute,
yes,
homie.
As well.
Anyway, but, gentlemen, mi casa, su casa, whatever it can
likewise.
Do.
Likewise.
All right.
Absolutely.
On that note, my friends, until the next beverage.
You got
cheers.
It. Cheers, man.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. Find us on Instagram at @_Tastemasters, Twitter at @TheTastemasters, or on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, DM us for any questions, or leave a review. Tell your friends, and thanks for listening. Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at @Fuse_Audio.